Backyard Green Films is proud to present this episode of Agriculture with your host, Alara Bowman. Alara and her husband, Rick, travel throughout the land in their travel trailer, which they have nicknamed Bessie, bringing you stories about their travels and the people they meet. They visit farmers, ranchers, and just about anyone who loves putting their hands in the dirt or their feet in stirrups. In those travels, they have gotten to meet some very interesting people. Here's one of those interviews. Welcome back to our podcast. 2 weeks ago, Alara and I traveled to the San Juan Islands in Washington State. We boarded the ferry and landed at Friday Harbor. Alara and I hit the ground running as we met up with Amarita Eibold from Sweetwater Farm, Ocotepeque. She and a friend, dressed in full traditional Turkmenistan clothing, took us down to the beach and brought out their Ocotepeque horses to show off these magnificent animals to us. These horses have a reputation for speed and endurance, plus a distinctive metallic sheen. When they were running on the beach that sunny day we were there, you could really see the shine coming off those coats. They are thought to be one of the oldest existing horse breeds, and they're currently about 6,000 in the world. You will get to see some of that footage in an upcoming video soon, I promise. Amarita had arranged a special guest for us on our visit, Gulmet Kometo, who is originally from Turkmenistan and is now living in Seattle. He runs the nonprofit Turkmen organization called Oasis. Alara got to sit down with him to discuss the Ocotepeque and the significant meaning that it has to the Turkmen culture.
So good morning to you.
Good morning.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Gulmet Kometo. I am from Turkmenistan, from the city of Dashos in the north of the Turkmenistan. We have border with Uzbekistan in our city. So I am 6 years in the United States now.
Well, I understand that you are a person that's somewhat of a prominent figure in the, is it the Seattle region for people from your culture?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So tell me kind of what you do.
Well, actually, we have here Turkmen nonprofit organization, and I am the head of that nonprofit organization. And I love to share my videos in Instagram, so getting popular in Seattle too. Yeah, that's
so
what I do.
What's the name of the organization?
Oasis Foundation.
Now, one of the things that I thought was really appalling for me is that I slaughter the name of the horse that we've come to talk about today. Would you pronounce the name of this horse, please?
Ocotepeque.
Because we call it Ocotepeque, but that sounds horrible to your ear, I'm sure. Ocotepeque.
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 Yes.
We're here in the state of Washington, in the San Juan Islands, and this seems like it's worlds away.
Yes.
And again, it's Americanizing the name is just the beginning of it. But in a way, this horse represents a number of aspects of your culture. And yet you've been separated from it in many cases. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the horses, especially Ocotepeque, we have several horses, like Yomut horses, Nohur horses. But Ocotepeque is the most popular one, let's say, most beautiful one. And it's a part of our life, actually. So in many countries, people used to eat the meat of the horse, but we never do that, never, ever. It's part of our family, the horse in Turkmenistan. Before, of course, it was we were riding them for wars, for farms, for everything. But when technology becoming developing every single day, so it's now just our part of our family. And some in historical days in World War parades, we are riding them, or in the circuses also as well. So now I am really happy to meet Amrita here and the Ocotepeque horses. We are really thankful for her to bringing our culture to us in Friday Harbor Island. We're really, really happy for that.
One of the things that's difficult, though, is that this has happened with all of us, that modern life has changed the purposes of many of these things that were fundamental to our culture. So, you know, whether we have used to have draft horses, and now we have tractors, and now we have bigger tractors. The draft horse, in many ways, becomes less important to some people as a matter of daily life, and then almost in danger of becoming obsolete altogether. When you have something that is not just a function of a job to be done, but is integral to your culture altogether, how does one lose pieces of their culture? Or because it's not just a tool, it's not just a vehicle for your historically in your culture. I mean, it's an integral part of the culture itself, correct?
Yes. Well, actually, yes, as you mentioned, before, maybe every single family had horses for different purposes, of course. For now, even when we have our like marriage celebrations, we again use horses for that. And when we, it's a part of our culture, so that's why we are not removing these horses. Not only Akhalteke, Yomot horses, Nohor horses. We are not removing it from our culture. We're just proud of it. Maybe, as you said, not every single family has the horse right now. But still, when you talk about Turkmenistan, one of the things that comes to your mind, it's horse and the Akhalteke ones. And when you have, we still have racings, like even... like every single person, like watch, they like to watch racings, and it's happening every week. So racing, and the head of our country is also, he likes horses too. So in different celebrations, national celebrations, regional celebrations, we are still using our horses. So. When you say Turkmenistan, you cannot go without horses. It's a part of our culture still. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get too political because or get too deep into that, because I know that can be a difficult thing. But we are in a time when people that are listening to this might be listening to the news, and they know that Russia has invaded the Ukraine area, and that that's had a profound impact on the culture over there, and it basically a lot of things just plain stop. And I know that Russia, 100 years ago or so, if I'm not mistaken, had a huge influence on the region of Turkmenistan, too. Is that correct?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what happened then.
So those times, it was Russian Empire. They were fighting with the countries around us, with us, too. It was like... 1880s, let's say, like 150 years ago almost. And of course, they had better weapons in every way. So we still were riding a horse. But I know that war happened everywhere in Turkmenistan. They were bravely fighting against the Russian Empire. But yeah, of course, they were much more, much bigger army they had, more people, more soldiers, and way better weapons. So they had the war. They took our country, and of course they, in the beginning, they want to, you know, just took away horses from us, right? And the people from Turkmenistan, they went to Moscow, and they were like telling that it's part of our culture, we need our horses back. Then it happened. They in 1930s, it was first time they said that it's over 6,000 horses they have in their records. And but in Stalin era, it was again a problem. But Turkmen people again went to Moscow. Talk about the horses, and we take our culture back. But of course, the Russian empires, so it was really, really effective regarding our horse culture. But I don't know how many horses we lost in the war, but it was too many horses, too many we lost. So yeah, nowadays we have a very nice country, very quiet, and horses are still the big part of our culture.
We had a story in the Americas here too. I don't know if you're familiar with the Nez Perce, but it was a Native American tribe, and it's my understanding they had somewhat of the same issue because they were such an equestrian culture that when we wanted to change the culture and control it, we took their horses, and we either removed quite a few of them or bred them to plow horses, and it changed the nature of the culture itself in a really effective way, if that's what you're wanting to do. And it was right in that, I believe it was also in that 1800s period as well.
So actually, when we took our independence, there was a horse ministry. It still exists. And what they do is they are working on gens, like they are researching if the horse is pure Ahalteke or pure Yomut or pure Nokur. But they are working on it. And we have a special horse day in Turkmenistan. It's only related with horses. So that day, the people take their horses and showing them to people, to other people in our country. So they are like holy things in our country, in our culture, horses.
Amrita was sharing me some of the visuals from that. We saw the president up on a very beautiful-looking horse and walked around in a little circle, and then had one of the shepherd dogs, I believe, too. It's also hit the news recently because they were talking about the dog needing a passport to leave the country. So it's really lovely to me that people are now understanding that these things are representative of culture in a way that's really important. And that needs to be preserved.
Yes.
So I look at your hat as we speak. Tell me a little bit about your hat.
Well, this hat, it's from sheepskin. And because our culture, we are people of nomad. So we used to wear them when we would take ships to the, let's say, mountains. And we have different styles. But this style is keeping your head from cold as well as from hot too. So you used to wear this, but when it's hot, you get a little sweating inside, but after a time, it keeps same temperature always.
That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because it's a hot day today, but that's one of the beauties of wool.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Now what kind of sheep again is the breed? Karakul, I think?
Parkul?
Karakul?
Karakul.
Is that right?
Karakul. Yes, she knows better.
Yeah, Amrita's a historian here.
Yeah, Karakul ships. Karakul, made up from Karakul ships, and they are mostly, we used to feed them in deserts. So the skin also, special skin, of course. So they're making it's a handmade, mostly. Nowadays, maybe some factories are making it, but it's mostly handmade.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're also wearing a jacket. That's traditional, correct?
This traditional jacket, yes. Yeah. Well, it's a not a everyday jacket, but in a days like celebrations, in special days, we used to wear this, and of course, it's part of our culture as well. And so in Turkmenistan, we also have a cotton. It's very popular in our country to like collect cottons and make fabrics from them. This is special fabric from that cottons. So it's it has named the keten. The keten fabric, made from keten fabric.
It's a really interesting component of traditional attire to me. I'm going to go back to the Native American tribe, the Navajo Churro sheep. You cannot have a Navajo blanket that's truly a Navajo blanket, that coarse wool, without the Navajo Churro sheep. And it comes from a specific kind of sheep that's specific to that region. And in many ways, all fabrics, unless they're truly representative, are sort of a, with lack of a better phrase, a knockoff in a way, aren't they? They're still the thing, but they're not the thing.
Yes, it is. Well, actually, maybe before it was different, of course. Now, you know, as we talk about technology, it's becoming, you know, better day by day. So nowadays it's made by factories, but when you have handmade, it's completely different, of course.
Yeah.
But cotton is Turkmen cotton, and the name of the fabric is keten. And you know, we when you talk about Turkmenistan, of course, one of the first things coming to mind is horses, and second thing is cotton, also very popular in Turkmenistan.
Regional agriculture is really, really important, and it's an important component of the education that you have, especially when it's such an economic factor in those areas.
Actually, people in Turkmenistan, we used to, I mean, we like helping government economically. So, you know, when you're free and when if you want, they're taking you to the fields, you're helping government. Yeah, that's it.
So now, speaking of government, in Turkmenistan, can anybody, and I'm going to slaughter it again, ahal teke, am I saying that right?
Yes,
okay. Can anyone own one?
Well, if you have enough money, you can do that, yes. They are not cheap, of course, but yeah, yes, you are allowed to buy.
Now, they're not cheap, and they're also, I mean, they're beautiful horses.
Yes.
They are just gorgeous. And in some ways, it makes me wonder if they're the same horse as they were 150 years ago. Because I know what's happened here is that when you get into the higher end of breeding horses, sometimes the purpose, the original purpose, starts to leave. It's happened in our draft horse industry here, where the draft horses have gotten bigger and they're, I mean, they're huge. And they're huge because that's what people want to see in today's world, but that's not necessarily what you used 100 years ago in the true purpose of a draft horse, because you have to feed all that horse. So when you have a horse that is so beautiful and so flashy and is a little further away from the original purpose, you know, maybe in the tribal regions or the nomadic regions, you can't support all that flash, right? It has to have a purpose.
Yeah.
Do you think that the horse is much different than it was 200 years ago?
Well, even 200 years ago, Turkmen people used to divide horses, like war horses for the beauty, let's say, for the farms, right? If they are, of course, different, but as I told before, we have horse ministry. Their only job is to make sure that the horses are pure ahal teke. And I don't think that there is too much difference, but nowadays we have mostly beautiful horses left, not for farms or wars, of course. Of course, they have different style of feeding, maybe, and different style of taking care of, right? And nowadays, because horses we are using for, like, in special days, so we have only beautiful ones left. Maybe it was a little bit different 200 years ago. Could be possible. But because of their skins, we
if you
call
liked
them
our podcast, horses. Please
they
subscribe.
Really
yeah, the way
this
that
is how we keep going.
Comes through the light.
And
yes,
please ask your friends to join us. Please also feel free to post any comments or questions to our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under Backyard Green Films. If you'd like to help be a part of the stories you hear, we'd love your support, feedback, and suggestions. If you'd like to make that financial support, please follow the Patreon links in our podcast intro for more information. Every little bit is another mile we can put on the road to bring you the conversations we hope you enjoy. We want to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Agriculture with your host, Alara Bowman. Please tune in for more upcoming episodes from our travels. I'm Rick Bowman, your behind-the-scenes editor. Until next time. This has been a presentation of Backyard Green Films Productions, All Rights Reserved. Copyright 2022.